are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans. Welcome to another edition of Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast family, your team every day. My name's Patricia Train. I cover your New York Giants for a variety of places. You can follow all my work by following me on Twitter at Patricia_Traina, T-R-A-I-N-A. And today's show is a crossover Wednesday. That means for this week, Terry Lambert, who is one of the co-hosts at Locked On Titans, will be joining me on the program. We'll be taking turns discussing our respective teams that we cover and try to get you ready for the upcoming weekend game between the Giants and the Tennessee Titans. Before we jump into the show and I turn things over to Terry, I just want to give you a quick overview of what's coming up the rest of the week on the Locked On Giants podcast. Tomorrow, we're going to have Dan Hatman of the Scouting Academy. Dan is a former, I don't know if he was a scout, but he used to work on personnel with the Giants, the Eagles, the Jets. So he knows a little bit about the scouting process and what teams generally look for and how they kind of approach things. So Dan had some very interesting insight regarding that process. And we also talked a little bit about the draft. So I hope you find that interview enjoying. And then on Friday, we'll wrap things up with a perspective show. So we'll hear from your favorite Giants throughout the week, guys that spoke throughout the week, I should say. And I'll have some perspectives on what they had to say and just things in general regarding the state of the Giants and where they are as they head into their weekend home game against the Tennessee Titans. All right, so on that note, I'm going to throw it over to Terry Lambert to pick up and host the crossover show.
All right, welcome in to another crossover edition. I am Terry Lambert of Locked On Titans. I am joined today by Locked On Giants. Go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself and where we can find your work.
Hey, everybody. Nice to be here. This is Patricia Traina of Locked On Giants. I'm the host. I write for The Athletic, New York City, Forbes, Big Blue View, a whole bunch of other places. Best way to keep up with my work is at Patricia_Traina on Twitter.
Happy to have Patricia on today. Of course, you can find our work over at MusicCityMiracles.com, part of SB Nation. You can find Locked On Titans wherever you get your podcasts. You know, we're posting four times a week, so be sure you're subscribed and all that. So wanted to start out by asking Patricia some questions about the New York Giants. Titans need this game to keep their playoff hopes alive. I think we have to start here by asking the Odell Beckham Jr. question, held out last week. Kind of a surprise, at least on Friday, that he was ruled out. What's his status for this week?
Well, as of yesterday, he was asked how he was feeling, and he kind of gave a one thumbs up, and he joked about, you know, hoping to be by two thumbs up by the end of the week. So I took that to mean that he's still sore, still coming along, but, you know, I also know he's getting round-the-clock treatment, doing everything possible because, you know, much like the Titans, the Giants' playoff hopes are still alive. They are still mathematically in it. Things are breaking their way so far. But in order for that to continue, they not only need help from around the league, they also need to keep winning. And, you know, they are a better team with Odell in the lineup than they are without him. Even though, you know, last week notwithstanding, you know, you want to have as many of your key players in the game, and they missed Odell, I'm sure, in some way, shape, or form. So hopefully he'll be okay to go.
Giants chose to go Saquon Barkley. You know, at this point, it's kind of hard to argue that point. But, you know, you're still rolling with Eli Manning back there under center. Every time I seem to watch the Giants, it just seems like he's at the finish line of his career. Am I wrong on that? What's going on with Eli this year?
Well, you know what? I've been saying since I actually before this year, I've been saying all along, give Eli a good supporting cast and he can still play and he can still win. And for years, he didn't have a good offensive line. He was constantly running for his life. I think he was one of, if not the highest sacked or hit quarterback over the last several years. He didn't have a running game. And, you know, I'm sorry, I don't care who the quarterback is, but you're not going to be able to function when you're constantly running for your life, when you don't have a running game to take some of the onus off of you. And, you know, another point that I've made is that over the last several years, Eli's been asked to throw the ball like close to 600 times, if not over 600 times. That's a lot of throwing for a guy who's getting up there in age. I don't care how good of condition you're in. So what they did, they addressed the offensive line. They had to do a couple of different revisions to that unit to get it right. And right now it looks like they got it right. And they added Saquon Barkley with the number 2 overall pick in the draft. And I know there were Giant fans that were screaming, oh, they should have taken a quarterback. They were stupid. They should have traded down. But look at what Saquon Barkley has brought to this team. He's brought them a running game, which now sets up play action and all the things that Eli can do well. And look at what's happening. They're winning. He's getting protection. They're winning. And all seems to be headed in the right direction in Giants country.
Yeah, winners of 4 of the last 5, I believe. So it's something starting to click up there for sure. Dive a little bit deeper in on Saquon Barkley. Yeah, he just seems to be the focal point of this offense. How are they using him? Is it pretty straightforward? How are they getting him involved? How are they getting him the ball in his hands?
Well, they're trying to get the ball in his hands as much as possible. I mean, as a runner, you know, if you saw the game on Sunday against Washington, this kid is he's amazing. I tell you, he is really fun to watch. Give him a hole and he can really shoot through it with speed like no running back I've seen in recent years. I mean, with due respect to Ezekiel Elliott and Todd Gurley. The other thing that Barkley is really, really good at is when you get him into space, he's like a little bowling ball coming downhill and he can just truck guys over and just, you know, he can do it all. And his pass blocking is getting better. Those few times they ask him to pass block, but he has really become a weapon for that Giants offense. And he's, you know, the best thing about him is that he's been everything they thought he would be and then some. Very mature for his age. He's only 21 years old and he's very humble. He says, I'm still a rookie. I'm still learning. I want to be great, but I can't be great without this, you know, my supporting cast. So kudos to that young man for having his head on straight.
All right, let's assume Odell sits on Sunday. Who should Titans fans be worried about in the Giants passing game?
Well, I think we could see the tight ends get more involved. They were kind of quiet last week because they were asked to do more of the run blocking responsibilities. But Evan Engram did come back last week, had some, you know, he had a couple of catches and he's really, you know, a lot of people say he's like a big wide receiver in a tight end's body. So he could be a focal point to keep an eye on, you know, and then otherwise, you know, you've got Sterling Shepard who statistically speaking had a quiet game. He only caught 2 of 7 receptions, but you know, his blocking was just top shelf last week. So he got a game ball actually for his blocking, but he's a guy who can certainly break things open. And then I think they're going to spread the ball around amongst their other receivers. They have Russell Shepard, they have Benny Fowler, Corey Coleman. So it's not like they have to hone in on just one guy. And even if Odell is in there, it's not like they're honing in just on him. They're spreading the ball around. And that's a good thing because when the offense when you know where the ball is going on every single play, and we saw this, you know, a couple years ago with the Giants offense, they become one dimensional and very easy to stop and game plan for. And they've just done a really good job spreading that ball around, getting the ball into Saquon Barkley's hands, the receivers, the tight ends, and it's paid off for them.
Shifting gears to the defense, just doing some quick research, Giants rank pretty much in the bottom half of every major category. Made some early season trades. Eli Apple is now gone. Damon Harrison is now gone. What's kind of the strength of this unit, if there is one, and what's the weakness?
Well, I think the unit started off very slow. I mean,
they had no pass rush. And it was, and part of that was because Olivier Vernon, who was being counted on to bring pass rush, missed like the first five games with a high ankle sprain. He's since been back and, you know, he's kind of picked it up a little bit, but just not the production I think that they were hoping for given his contract status. But, you know, the other thing is they had a couple of young guys that they had to get on that defensive front and get them to start playing well together. So if you look at that defensive front, they have a rookie in BJ Hill, who is really coming on strong in the second half of the season. They have a second-year player, Dalvin Tomlinson, who's starting to find his niche. They added in Josh Morrow, who missed the first four games due to a suspension, so he's starting to get into a groove. Kerry Wynn is starting to fit in. So that front, defensive front for the Giants is starting to play better, and that's becoming a strength. I mean, even the linebackers, you know, Alec Ogletree, who everybody thought was finished because he couldn't cover to save his life, he leads the team and with five interceptions, so he's starting to play better. Kareem Martin's starting to play better. Lorenzo Carter is coming on. So just the whole defensive front is starting to gel a little bit more.
I think that defensive front is going to be a big key because, you know, it certainly looks like the Titans found something in Derrick Henry last week. So we'll get into that when we come back after this break.
Hey, Giant fans. Bragging rights and huge cash prizes are up for grabs this weekend and all season long at DraftKings, the leader in one-week fantasy sports. How huge? We're talking over $1.5 million in total prizes. With 1 week fantasy at DraftKings, you choose when to play. Draft a new team every week with no season-long commitment. At DraftKings, you are the GM. Just choose your players, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. No matter what your skill level is, there's a contest waiting for you at DraftKings. So if you've been thinking about trying 1 week fantasy football, now is the time to play. Because nothing makes Football Sunday more exciting than when you have a DraftKings lineup in the line. And you can play free with your first deposit to compete for your share of over $1.5 million in total prizes. Go to DraftKings.com or download the app today. Use the code LOCKEDON to enter a contest for free this weekend with your first deposit and compete for your share of over $1.5 million in total prizes. That's code LOCKEDON, only at DraftKings, the game inside the game. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
All right, we are back, and I'll toss it over to Patricia for her Titans questions.
All right. Thanks so much, Terry. So let's start off with the mood around the Titans. You know, you mentioned at the top of the show that they're clinging to playoff hopes. I mean, where do you see them at right now at this juncture with the playoff picture shaping up the way it is?
I think Nashville really wants to buy into this team, but I don't think they can. It just seems like the Titans have been the same team basically since, you know, the mid-2000s. Since the post-McNair era, just somewhere around 8-8, just kind of hovering with, you know, some exceptions here or there. This team is so inconsistent. You saw them go beat the Patriots by 24. Then you saw them get blown out by the Colts and then the Texans. So, I mean, they're still alive. I'm just not sure the fan base has too much confidence in them. And you know, I think you kind of saw that with the season on the line, Jacksonville in town last Thursday night. The stands weren't very full. So I just think there's a problem there. I think they kind of want to see the Titans do it before they really buy in.
And where does Marcus Mariota stand right now? I know he's had some up and down games. I think he had some injuries, if I'm not mistaken. Where is he at right now with this offense?
Yeah, he's a really tough evaluation. Like you said, he's been dealing with those injuries. Week one, he has a nerve injury in his elbow, caused him to miss a couple weeks. Comes back earlier than he probably should have because Blaine Gabbert gets knocked out of the Jacksonville game. So he's playing without feeling in two of his fingers. So, of course, he's going to look bad through all of that. So it's a really tough evaluation. When he has gotten protection – You know, kind of like what you're saying with Eli Manning, when he's gotten protection, when he's gotten help from the weapons around him, he's looked pretty good. When the offensive line has struggled, of course, he's looked pretty bad. You know, you look at games against Baltimore and Indy, he looked terrible, but it's really hard to put that on him. So I think most Titans fans are still optimistic about Mariota, but certainly they're definitely frustrated with the injuries. Which, you know, it's hard to put that on him. He's had some dumb luck in his career.
Now, in the first segment, I mentioned how Saquon Barkley has helped the Giants offense because he's given them a running game. Now, in this last game that you guys had, Derrick Henry, 238 yards, including a 99-yard touchdown run on 17 carries. Where has this been all year?
That's a really good question. I wish I knew. Henry's been very inconsistent. You know, he said it himself. He needs to play better. He said it all year. Well, finally, we saw it. And, you know, quite honestly, I think that was more of a case of Jacksonville laying down. You know, they kind of got hit in the mouth, and then they just quit for the rest of the night. So I'm not so sure if we're going to see that again. I think Derrick Henry has earned more carries than Deion Lewis, which you've kind of seen start to happen over the past couple of weeks. Yeah, that part is interesting, too. There was a portion of the year where Deion Lewis was playing better than Derrick Henry, and he earned more carries. But I think Henry is becoming more of a straight-ahead runner. You know, he's 6'3", 250 pounds, but he has never really run like a power back. Finally starting to see him put his head down and start to make some plays and start to fall forward. So holding out hope that it can continue, but also not holding my breath.
Okay. And in terms of matchups, who's the one player on the Titans that you think the Giants need to really be concerned about?
I think you need to look at a couple of guys. I think Taywan Taylor is a matchup problem. Just in terms of speed, and the Titans have really started using that. He was hurt, and since he's come back, they've really used him down the field. So I think they're going to send him down and try and get those safeties out of the box and then hit you with Derrick Henry. And then you got to look at Corey Davis, a guy that's really come on, been a little inconsistent and has struggled against top cornerback talent. But that's a guy that can win in the middle of the field. He can win with his routes. He can really get some separation. He can win those 50-50 balls for you. So Marcus has a ton of trust in him, and it seems like they're finally on the same page. So outside of that, this Titans offense is pretty banged up. You know, no more Delanie Walker. He was out. He's been out since week one. Tight end Jonnu Smith is done for the year. They're going to rely on Anthony Firkser and some unproven inexperienced talent underneath Taylor and Davis, who don't have much experience at all. So you're kind of starting to see the picture I'm painting there of what Marcus Mariota is working with this year.
Yeah, and I also saw a report that Jack Conklin, the tackles, might miss the game.
Yeah, and you know, I think that's probably for the best. He was an All-Pro his rookie year, and he blew out his knee in that Patriots playoffs game. And hasn't been the same guy since. So he's really struggled, giving up a ton of pressure off that right side. You know, it's coming right at Mariota's face. So they're going to insert Dennis Kelly in the lineup, who's played really well this year in limited spots. So quietly, you know, that might be an upgrade, because I just think Conklin just isn't right now.
And let's flip over to the defense. What are the strengths of the Titans' defense? What do you think, and above all, you know, going against a Saquon Barkley, who's just been tremendous in that run game. I mean, can they stop him?
Well, the Titans have some very, very good linebackers. Starts with Wesley Woodyard, the veteran who's seen it all. Jayon Brown, second-year player, really athletic, has a ton of speed to him. He's going to be a key covering Saquon Barkley in the pass game. Then you look at Rashawn Evans, first-round pick. Missed all of training camp. He's just now starting to come on. So those three are playing really well. They've got a nice rotation going. Where the Titans struggle is, you know, up front in the trenches. They didn't last week. They put in a good effort against Leonard Fournette. But also you had Cody Kessler there, not much threat of the pass. So It's interesting, you know, you struggle up front in the trenches, but those linebackers are good enough to where the run defense is just, instead of being bad, is more inconsistent. So I'm pretty interested to see how they hold up this Sunday.
And what about the Titans pass rush? I mean, the Giants offensive line's been playing a lot better. You know, they still give up a sack here and there, but certainly not at the alarming rate that they were giving them up in the first eight games. Where do you see the key matchups there with the Titans front versus the Giants offensive line?
Well, on the edges, there's not much there. Brian Arakpo and Derek Morgan, you know, are on the tail ends of their career. They just don't have that explosive first step anymore. Titans have gotten no production out there. So, really, your reserve rushers, Sharif Finch and Harold Landry, that have been more productive this year. So, you know, look for those sub packages there. I think the Titans will continue to attack the interior. Jarrell Casey, obviously a great player, pretty underrated throughout his career. But they send a ton of blitzes up the middle. You know, Jayon Brown, Wesley Woodyard, Rashawn Evans. They'll cross you up. They'll force your hand and send pressure right up the gut, which has really been successful this year. So they don't get much pressure from the outside, but they'll really dial it up on the inside.
You're listening to Locked On Giants with Patricia Traina and Locked On Titans co-host Terry Lambert. This is the Wednesday crossover show. We're going to take a short break, come back segment three, and wrap things up. So stay with us. The Locked On Podcast Network is doing unprecedented things on Twitter and Instagram. On Twitter, follow Locked On NFL Net to get all the latest breaking news and game highlights from the Locked On Podcast Network NFL hosts, all on one convenient feed. On Instagram, Locked On NFL Net gives you the biggest stories, including audio cuts as provided by the various Locked On NFL team hosts. Make sure you follow Locked On NFL Net on both Twitter and Instagram to get your daily fill of the NFL.
All right, we are back. Patricia, I'll let you go first. Give me a prediction for Sunday.
Oh, wow. I've been terrible this year with my predictions because just when I think the Giants got it right and I have it right, the Giants do something and make me look stupid. although last week I was correct. I did pick them to beat Washington. I think, you know, look, the Giants are on a roll. I like the vibe that's coming out of the locker room. You know, that these guys are playing like they have something to play for. And they have been really all throughout the year. They've never given up. And it's a home game. They know that the playoffs, that they have to do their part to get in, even though it's a slim chance given the mathematics and all that needs to happen. So I think the Giants are going to pull this one out. I do think it's going to be a close one, but I'm going to say the Giants come up with, 33-24.
I kind of have the same feeling in terms of picking the Titans this year. I just can't seem to get them right. I mentioned how inconsistent they are. They've won two in a row. You know, this just feels like a spot where they're going to let me down again. So I'm going to go ahead and pick the Giants. Giants opened as 3-point favorites out in Vegas. I think that's right on the money. The Titans are too inconsistent for me. I think that week 17 matchup with Indy, potentially with the playoffs on the line, is already looming. So it's kind of a look ahead spot in that sense. So I'll go Giants about 23-20. I think it'll be close, but I'm really worried about Titans being able to contain Saquon.
Yeah, he's going to be a tough one for sure. He is definitely on a roll, and look, he's coming off that big game. You know, the confidence is sky high, so it's a matter of do they continue it?
Well, Patricia, thanks for joining me. It was great stuff. Let my listeners know where they can find you one more time.
Sure. You can find me on Twitter at Patricia_Traina, T-R-A-I-N-A. There you can find links to all my work. I have an article out on The Athletic that came out on Tuesday that kind of breaks down some of the Giants' film work. If you want to read more about that, you can find me on Forbes. You can find me on Big Blue View. Just basically follow me on Twitter and you'll find links to wherever I'm published that particular day.
All right. Thanks as always for listening to Locked On Titans and Locked On Giants, and we'll see you later.